Welcome to the Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones.
God was looking for an opportunity to demonstrate His power to this new generation. I want you to remember, ladies and gentlemen, our greatest extremity is God's grand opportunity.
Providence Baptist Church, located at 8523 Providence Road, Ootowa, Tennessee. You can visit us on the web at www.providenceonline.org. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And now, here is Pastor Jones with today's message.
If you have your Bible, I invite you to go with me to Joshua chapter number 1. And we're going to pick up our reading tonight in verse number 7 of chapter number 1. And the Bible says, as the Lord speaks to Joshua, He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to call your attention to verse number 7. The Lord speaks to Joshua. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded. Notice that expression, the Lord commands him to observe and to do. Tonight, as we continue in this series, looking at not so much the book of Joshua, but considering more specifically the man, the character of Joshua, I want to speak to you on this thought, courageous obedience. A new generation is standing on the banks of the Jordan River, wondering in themselves, will they make the same mistakes that their wandering parents made? They are standing there and they are poised to enter into all that God had promised them, and they know their past. They know what had happened a generation before. And they are wondering, will we make that same mistake? It's an interesting concept, but I can imagine that these 2 million plus people, as they are poised to enter in to claim the promises of God, at the same time, no doubt, there was a war that was waging within their heart. They knew in their head what God had said, but in their heart, they are wrestling with these feelings of uncertainty, these questions. What if we fail? What if we make the same mistakes? Will we turn tail and run? What will happen to us? Their parents made that terrible mistake, and for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, unable to enter in. It was the largest roundabout in the world that was marked with numerous stops along the way. Numerous funerals every day for 40 years. Think of that. And now it is their turn. Their leader Moses has passed, and they are now on the verge of victory, with only the Jordan River that stood between where they were and all that God had for them. There is a new word that is introduced to this passage, and it's one that you see multiple times leading up to the first few, or throughout the first few chapters. We see it in verse number 2. The Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. This is a new thing for them. This is the first time they have heard this in 40 years. Arise and go over this Jordan. Friend, they were not proud of their past, but they were also frightened of their future. Can you relate to that? You may not be very proud of your past. And at the same time, when you look backwards into the past with a little bit of letdown, you look forward with a sense of fear, a sense of dread, a fear that your future will be just a repetition of your past. But friends, I want you to know we are much more than our past failure. There is a future with God. A future that is as bright as the promise of God itself. Like Israel, you may not be proud of your past, but friend, you need not to fear your future. Normally, the Jordan River was a river that was easily crossed. But during the flooding period, it was treacherous. In some sections of the river, it was as wide as 2 miles. And it's interesting, the Lord did not bring them to the Jordan River when it was nearly dried up. God purposely waited until He brought them to the river when it overflowed its banks. I'll tell you why. Because God was looking for an opportunity to prove Himself. God was looking for an opportunity to demonstrate His power to this new generation who were about to step forward and attempt something for God that they had never attempted before. And I want you to remember, ladies and gentlemen, our greatest extremity is God's grand opportunity. When we think something is beyond our strength, that's when God can receive the greatest glory. Because it is in our weakness that His strength is revealed. God called His people to a life of faith and obedience. And we need courageous obedience. We need to act in faith and obedience, even if it is counterintuitive. Courageous faith, it follows God in the assurance of faith because it discerns the cause of God. It is determined to obey the commands of God, and it desires above everything else the company of God. Consider these thoughts with me. We can be courageous in our obedience when we discern the cause of God. Again, picking up in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the stated will of God for Israel was abundantly clear. God had brought them out of Egypt that He might bring them into the promised land. God had brought them out to bring them in. God never leaves His promises undone. He will always accomplish His purpose. Understand, His plan and His will did not die with Moses. God's plans are bigger than the individual man. They do not die with one generation. God makes it clear that this is His work, this is His cause, this is His will. He would make good on His promises. Just as He had been with Moses, He said, I will be with you, Joshua. And the same promise that He had given to Moses, He now gives to Joshua. And again, this is no new promise. This was the promise that was given to Abraham, given to Isaac and to Jacob. This was the promise that was reiterated to even Joseph and to Moses and now to Joshua. Consider for a moment that God made this promise to Abraham concerning the land, and it was not fulfilled for about 430 years. Think of that. What promise are you waiting on God to fulfill? They waited 430 years. But God never forgot. He never forgot. Though the promise tarried all that time, God's promise remained the same. Joshua could be courageous in his obedience because Joshua knew what God's plan and His purpose, His cause. He knew the will of God. God's will was for him to cross over. God's will was for Joshua to lay claim to all that God had promised His people. In verses 3 and 4, the Lord gives the dimensions of this land. Think of this. Everywhere the sole of your foot will trod, that will be your inheritance. This is the same promise that He made to Abraham. The same promise that had been passed along to each one of these forefathers. Think about the dimension of this land. When you take a map, and you put these markers that God gives in verses 3 and 4, you will realize that it covers something like 300,000 square miles. Israel never possessed more than 30,000 square miles. Let that sink in. God said, I'm going to give it all to you. They settled for 10% of it. Right now, currently, the nation of Israel only inhabits 8,000 square miles. In other words, about a third of the tenth. Think of that. They settled for less. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, I want to have a courageous obedience that does not settle for less than what God wants to do. Everything that God could have done for them, He didn't, because they settled. Joshua and all of Israel could have had a courageous obedience because God had promised them success. That's what He says in verse number 5. He promised to be right by their side. He said, there will be no one who will be able to stand before you. He said, everywhere you go, I will be with you. There was no reason for them to be afraid, for the Lord was with them. Like what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? You see, courageous obedience discerns the cause of God. Once we know the will of God in a matter, it is a sin for us to drag our feet in obeying it. Oftentimes we hear that, well, I want to put a fleece out like Gideon did. And I want to just test and make sure that this is really God's will. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that's a dangerous thing. Because there are times when Gideon's fleece is not an exercise of faith. It's an exercise of disobedience. If the Lord says this is His will, then we are wrong to drag our feet in obeying. Courageous obedience discerns God's calls and moves forward in faith. Courageous obedience, secondly, determines to obey God's command. Picking up in verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, up until this point, God had spoken directly to His servants. This is a major change for this generation. Because God had given His law and gave the command to Moses, I want you to write it down. They didn't have necessarily just the audible word of God. They had the written word of God. This is a major change and a major turning point. And God's call for them now was to hear and heed His book. Joshua is encouraged by the Lord to take to heart His commandments. Everything that Moses had commanded. He said, I want you to take it and I want you to live it. Don't turn from it neither to the right hand nor to the left. He said, I want you to take heed to it and to apply it and to live by it. You know, have you ever noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that it takes no effort whatsoever to disobey the voice of the Lord? Have you ever noticed that the easiest thing for us to do is disobey God? It's like it comes natural for us or something. It's almost like it's in our DNA, our program. Our default is just simply to disobey. Have you ever noticed that the easiest thing for us to do is to remain silent when we should speak, or to sit still when we should move? You ever notice that? You see, ladies and gentlemen, there will always be pressure to turn either to the left hand or to the right hand. There will always be pressure put upon God's people to simply be quiet when we should speak, to do nothing when God wants us to move. But this is what the Lord asks of us. He says in verse 7, He says, I just want you to do it. You see, the Lord is not just interested in assent. He wants consent. He wants us to do more than just a mental acquiescence. He wants us to have practical action. He says, I want you to observe, to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. We must have a heart attitude like that of David when he said in Psalm 119, verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You see, when it comes to God's command, He is looking for practical action. He wants obedience. And courageous obedience, ladies and gentlemen, is required for enjoying God's success. Notice again in these verses, we've just read verse 7, but notice what we read in verse number 8. He says that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Courageous obedience is required for enjoying God's success. God's success. In these verses, God gives to us His very own formula for what success requires. In verse 8, He says, number 1, He said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. You know, there was a time when the language of the Bible was the language of the common man. I wish we had time to go through some of the little sayings that we have and that we still use today that come right out of the Bible. There was a time when the language of the Bible was the language of everyday speech. We ought to be those who are people of the book, so much so that our language is shaped by it. He says, not only let it not depart from thy mouth, don't just talk about it, but meditate therein day and night. We ought to think about it. Think upon it. Meditate is such a great word. We've talked about this before in some of our previous studies. Meditate, the picture there is, it's an agricultural term that describes a cow that takes a big bite of grass and chews on it for a while and swallows it and spits it back up and chews on it some more and swallows it and spits it back up and chews on it some more. Isn't that a lovely picture? But that's what meditate is. You take it in. You think about it. And then a little later on, you think about it again. You just begin to muse upon it. And you just let God slowly digest that into your heart and into your life. And once it gets into your heart, once it gets into your head, it will find its way into your life. He says, don't let it depart from thy mouth. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. In other words, act upon it. We need to be more than just those who will talk about obedience. We need to be more than those who just talk about God's Word. We need to be those who think about and meditate upon God's Word. But we need to be more than just those who will talk about it and think about it. May God help us to be those who will apply it to our lives and live by it. That's what God wants. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, Ottawa and the greater Chattanooga area has enough of do-nothing churches. May I say, the family of God has enough do-nothing Christians. I don't want to be a part of a do-nothing church. And I certainly don't want to be a do-nothing Christian. I want to be among those whom God is working in and through to impact eternity for His glory and honor. And that only comes, ladies and gentlemen, when we will have obedient faith that results in courageous obedience. That's what we need. That's what we need. Or we can be nothing and do nothing and stand before God with empty hands and singed robes. Paul said, you'll be saved, but as by fire. I don't want to meet Jesus like that. I don't want to leave this world like that. I want to leave this world so on fire for God. That's how I want to leave. With a testimony that of somebody who is wanting and doing something for the Lord. May God deliver us from do-nothing churches and do-nothing faith. Courageous obedience discerns the cause of God, but it determines to obey God's command. This is the way. Walk you in it, says the Lord. But thirdly, courageous obedience desires the company of God more than anything else. In verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Don't you love the fact that God is with us? Whithersoever we go. Joshua needed the assurance that God was now going to be with him. He needed that assurance, and God gave him that assurance in verse 5. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The Lord says, I will not abandon you. I will not let you sink. That's literally what it means. I will not let you sink. You know, I think about that in light of the New Testament. And I think about one particular disciple who got so courageous. He said, Lord, if that be thee, if that's you, Jesus, bid me to come out on that water where you're at. Jesus said, come on. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There are times in our life when we ought to stay in the boat. But man, there's other times when we ought to step out on the water and walk to Jesus. And Peter did that. But even when he was doing the impossible, not only just attempting, but doing the impossible, even in that moment when he began to sink, Jesus said, I'm right here with you. I will not forsake thee. I will not leave thee. Jesus would not let him sink. This is what the Lord is saying to Joshua, which is amazing because he's about to cross over the Jordan River that, by the way, has overswelled its banks. 2 miles wide in some of its widest points. The Lord says, cross over, and by the way, I'm not going to let you sink. Isn't that awesome? The Lord tells him exactly what he needs to hear. And these were the words that God had given to Moses in Exodus 33. These are the words that God gives to every believer in Hebrews chapter 13. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. This reminds me of the little 4-year-old who was trying to recite the Lord's Prayer. One Sunday he prayed with a loud voice, Our Father who art in heaven, I know you know my name. Aren't you glad he knows your name? Aren't you glad he knows exactly where you're at? It's amazing how much we can learn from little kids. How true that is. He knows us by our names. And some of us struggle when we cannot feel Him nearby. But it is those times, at those times, when we must claim this truth by faith. Lord, I know that You are with me. It is the very presence of God with us that produces this courageous obedience. Pay a close attention to what we've read from verses 5 through 9. You will notice that verse 5 begins with this promise that I will not leave thee. I am with you. I will not forsake you. And it concludes in verse 9 with a reiterating that same promise. Have I not commanded thee? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And sandwiched between these two promises, Joshua, I am with thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Joshua, I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sandwiched between these two promises, Joshua, I want you to be strong and be very courageous. Do you know why he could be strong and very courageous? Because behind him and before him was the presence of God. All around him was the presence of God. Everywhere, before him, behind him, above him, beneath him, was the presence of God. When we live in the presence of God, what do we have to fear? Courageous obedience desires the company of God because it is His company that brings about courageous faith and courageous obedience. What are you afraid of right now? What is the Jordan that you're facing right now at this very moment? What is the step of faith that God is asking you to take that for whatever reason you are hesitant to take? What is it? You say, Pastor, I don't really know. Well, ask your fears, because your fears will tell you. What am I afraid of? But let God answer your fears, because He is with us. And if God be for us, who can stand against us? What decision is it that you are facing right now that seems too much for you to make? You see, in this light, as we see the crossing of the Jordan River, it becomes a very practical picture of decisions. What is it that God is asking you to trust Him with that you're hesitant to believe and to trust Him to do? See, ladies and gentlemen, we can have courageous obedience when we discern God's calls, when we determine to obey His commands, and when we desire His company more than anything else. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church, with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones. Our prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We're located at 8523 Providence Road, Ootowa, Tennessee. You can visit us online at www.providenceonline.org. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And until next time, may God richly bless you.
Thank you for taking time to listen to our very first broadcast of The Voice of Providence. This is something that has been upon my heart for several years, and we're excited about the possibility of extending our ministry through the radio. And we're praying that God will use this in a tremendous way. And I would ask that you would pray with us. We would love to hear from you. And until next time, God bless.